May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Ha in gut siebte Mai, or happy 17th of May. Now, unless you're from Norwegian extraction, the date 17th of May probably means nothing to you. But if your name is Erik Olaf Olsen, that is another matter entirely. This day marks the ratification of Norway's constitution and declaration of independence from Sweden in 1814. In the church that I grew up in, Zion Lutheran in Staten Island, on the Sunday closest to the 17th of May, the Torresens, the Larsens, the Knutsens, the Petersens, the Tellefsens, the Lorentzens, the Svensens, the Hansens, the Olsens, and all the rest of the Sens sent their children to church wearing the bunad, the traditional Norwegian costume. Thank goodness there were none that fit me. After church, we all went to Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, for the 17th of May parade, which ended in Leif Erikson Park. Members of my church carried banners, and we even have a float. It still exists, and they'll be there today. Following the parade, everyone gathered back at the Sons of Norway Lodge, Nansen Lodge, for fellowship and for food. Now, you may have heard, most Norwegian foods require a refined palate, such as lutefisk, which is codfish which soaked in lye for several days. It is so potent that if you take a silver spoon or a silver fork and place it into the lutefisk, it will turn black instantly. But beside their main dishes, their desserts are truly out of this world. There is no better treat than a Norwegian waffle topped with Norwegian fruit jelly. Delish. Well, the talk of fruit directs us back to Jesus' words in the gospel. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last." When a fruit tree puts forth its fruit and it becomes ripe, you must pick it without delay. If you procrastinate, the fruit will rot, insects will infest, and it will drop to the ground. Growing up, we had a pear tree in our yard, and when I was around my son Luke's age, I was so excited to pick those pears, and we had a great harvest that year. But as I got a little older, I had other priorities. I knew the fruit was ripe, I could see it out the kitchen window, but I never picked it on time. So the harvest was meager and mushy. The speed in which we respond to a task, an event, a challenge, or a need can mean the difference between feast and famine, prosperity and poverty, calm and crisis, and yes, even life and death. Our recent economic woes have been blamed on complicated financial derivatives and how distrust and suspicion directly affected the velocity of money, the speed in which money is spent after it is earned. This decrease in velocity caused global economic panic and the credit market to freeze up. The huge economic stimulus package's goal and the speed in which it was proposed and implemented were designed to greatly increase the velocity of money in the economy and reverse the crisis. In matters of faith, what is the speed that we are spending ourselves in service to God and the rest of God's children? While we do not earn grace, but receive it as a gift, how quickly have we returned or passed on the love that we were gifted by Christ to others? What is the speed that we comfort others in their distress in relation to the comfort that we received from God through someone whom God sent us? How fast have we extended the hope that sustains us to someone who is at wit's end? 3 months after the tragic crash of Flight 3407, it appears that the cause of the crash was the result of insufficient airspeed, which initiated a wing stall warning to the pilot, who instead of increasing the velocity of the aircraft by dipping the aircraft down, pulled back on the stick, further decreasing airspeed, which resulted in a tragic stall. Without sufficient speed, sufficient lift could not be maintained. Today, we all reaffirmed our baptism with our new members. Are we responding to our baptismal calling with a sense of urgency, with the speed that it requires? Are we ministering with the right attitude and at the right altitude? And while piloting through time and space, are we doing everything that we can to listen for God's voice and instruction? Do we follow God's commandments, especially the loving of one another as Jesus has loved us? What is our reaction time? Are we putting in those training hours to be the best Christian witness that we can be? In the reading of the Acts of the Apostles, we are also confronted with a sense of speed and urgency in the early church. In our first lesson, Peter is at Cornelius' house, having been summoned there from Simon the Tanner's seaside villa. The house was full of folks waiting for the words that Peter was going to bring them. You see, Cornelius had a vision while he was fasting. Maybe we don't see visions anymore because we're all too fat, myself especially included. But in his vision, he saw a man dressed in brilliant raiment. And he told Cornelius to summon Peter to hear what he had to say. And immediately, Cornelius sent an envoy to summon Peter. By divine instance, Peter was also very hungry, and he was praying on the tanner's roof, and he had a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven with animals and creatures that Jewish purity law had deemed unclean. But along with the vision came a command to get up, kill, and eat. Peter refused. He said he had never eaten anything unclean, but the response was basically from God. What I have made clean, you have no right to call unclean. This happened three times, and after the vision, while he was trying to understand what had happened, suddenly there was a knock at the door, and three men sent by Cornelius called for Peter. The Spirit told Peter, no, it pushed Peter out of the house to go with the Gentiles, and he did so without delay. And when he arrived, he asked what they wanted. Cornelius, in the presence of his friends and family gathered, told Peter of his vision and said that they were waiting to hear what Peter had to say. Peter did not tell them that he had to get back to them. He didn't sit down and write out his sermon. He did not use fancy language or clever stories, no. Without hesitation, he told it to them straight. And as he was still speaking, God validated this encounter by instantly sending the Holy Spirit. God blessed Peter's proclamation by making it effective. God blessed Cornelius and his family and friends by giving them the good news that they hungered for. And this was all validated by the Spirit, which descended upon the Gentiles. They began to speak in dialects other than their own, and they were praising God, and yes, they all were baptized. Today we open our hearts to 40 new members. The Holy Spirit is validating the work of God through each member of this congregation. Members and friends, both old and new, come here for the same reason. The same reason that Cornelius' friends and family gathered at that house. We come here to hear the word of God proclaimed through the reading of the Holy Scriptures, as Daniel shared with us. We come here for the hearing and singing of sacred song and music through the preaching of the gospel. The Spirit has and is validating this encounter. The Church of God on Main Street called Holy Trinity is a place where God feeds and nourishes now. It is a place where our fruit grows and it ripens. And while the Holy Spirit drew you here, that same Spirit will send you out from here after you have eaten and drank from the fruit which is Christ. You will be sent to the other Corneliuses in the world. You will be their Peter. You will tell the old, old story, but with a sense of urgency. You may even lead some of them back here in the future, and they may join our faith family. You can do this. You can be the fruit that the world needs. But none of us can do this alone. The Norwegian playwright and poet Henrik Ibsen wrote an epic tale about a harbor pilot named Terje Vigen, who hailed from a southern port region of Grimstad, Norway, the same place where my family comes from. During the Napoleonic Wars, Denmark-Norway sided with France, and England and Sweden set up a blockade around Norway to starve the Norwegians to death. That began in 1812. Well, Terje Vigen was a sailor who, after some time of adventure and sailing around the world, settled down with a wife, and they had a little baby girl. And Taya lived for his little baby girl. But as rations dropped critically low, Taya took matters in his own hands, and he decided to take a small pram and to row under the cover of darkness through reef and shoal in heavily patrolled waters to get some food, which they needed desperately. There was no time to waste. It was a matter of life and death. And he made it all the way to Denmark, and he traded for 3 casks of barley. And he made his way back again through shoal and reef, and just as he was approaching the shore of his home, an English patrol boat spotted Terje and sent a pursuit jolly craft after him. And although Taya rowed until his fingers bled, he was captured and found himself on the deck before an 18-year-old commander of the ship. Taya pleaded on behalf of his wife and his daughter, but the young commander saw to it that Taya was sent directly to England and imprisoned. After that first 17th of May in 1814, several years after his imprisonment, Taya was released and returned home to find strangers in his house and 2 tombstones in the churchyard for his wife and his child. With his spirit shackled in grief, he looked to the sea, and he continued to work as a harbor pilot. One day, years later, a yacht with torn sails was in danger of being wrecked on the shoals. And with haste, Terje Vigen quickly boarded the vessel. And on the ship, he encountered a small family, a husband, a wife, and a little girl. With an expert hand, Terje grabbed the rudder, and he took the ship safely away from the shoals. Until he saw in the phosphorus light and heard a voice, he saw the face of the husband. It was none other than that young captain who sent him to prison all those years ago. So Taya let go of the rudder and let the ship run aground. And as water poured in, Taya ordered them into the life rafts and led them to what he deemed to be their ultimate demise. Just as revenge was in his grasp, and when the captain was on his knees begging Taya for his life and the life of his family, a calm came over him. And in that instance, his Savior, his Christ, came to him with the speed of an angel, in the person of that little girl, in the blueness of her eyes. Instantly, in the nick of time, forgiveness and love prevailed. And Terje Vigen was finally really out of jail. He let go of the hatred and the revenge, and he brought that family to safety. Brothers and sisters, no matter how hard we try to maintain the right speed of faith No matter how generous we desire to be, the fruit that we have been entrusted to be, the reality is that we are too slow and too excuse-oriented. We are professional procrastinators, and we lack courage and we lack zeal. Our own will is not enough. We cannot love as Christ loved. The speed of Jesus' ministry is dizzying if you think about how much he taught, how much he healed and forgave and fed and loved in only 3 years of ministry. But like the captain's daughter, through whom Christ came to save Taya Vegan, so too Christ can and will act through us to save others. Our fruit can and will remain because we can and will remain connected to the vine which is in Christ. And every time we come here on Sunday and we hear God's word anew, and we come to the altar and we receive the sacrament of our precious Lord's body and blood, the sap of that vine flows through us. It is none other than the fruit of Christ's passion that we feast upon and share. But we don't dine alone, and we don't feed alone. As the church, we are an expression of the body of Christ and are a part of Christ's larger church in the world. We need each other and Christ as our head. And we are diminished and less complete when there are still children of God who do not know the grace and love of God in Christ, children who have not tasted yet the sweetness of Jesus. Our joy, and I mean joy, is that we get the privilege to share such awesome news. Instead of celebrating a constitution one day a year, we celebrate forgiveness, reconciliation, love every hour of every day, every second and every minute. But time is of the essence. So, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.